listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we're here talking about Cabin in the Woods. Cabin in the Woods. Say that correctly. Cabin in the Woods. And we have none other than friend of the podcast and New York Times quoted fashion expert, Tim Jolliffe. Tim Jolliffe. with extra
Tim Jolliffe.
Jolliffe? Yeah. I was like thinking about it this morning. It's like, how do you say this? Like
it's just Jolliffe.
Jolliffe?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tim Jolliffe.
But if you want to add like some flair, we can say Jolliffe. You know.
Did you ever go by Jolliffe? Just for the fun of it? Like Jolliffe. Sounds like the male version of like Jolene.
Oh yeah,
Jolene.
But no, I was called Jolly in like high school and like.
Oh really? That's kind of
college.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about TJ?
Do you ever get TJ? Ooh. When I was younger,
you didn't look like a TJ.
Dad, we have the same initials.
Okay.
And so he was called TJ.
Got it. Okay.
Like his pals and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
a good one. Maybe we should start calling you TJ Jr.
Yeah. But it's interesting because, like, growing up, I went by Timothy.
Yeah.
And so, like, all my, like, friends pre-college call me Timothy. And then it wasn't until college I started going by Tim.
Okay.
And then everyone after college calls me Tim.
Was there a reason for the change?
I don't know.
Did you introduce yourself as Timothy or Tim?
I did. I introduced myself as Timothy, but then people just started calling me Tim.
They just like, didn't give a fuck and they were like, you're Tim now.
And like even professors too, they were like, oh, Tim. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So then you like transfer to the, my name's Timothy, but you can call me Tim.
So I started doing that. Yes.
Okay.
I would introduce myself like, yeah, Tim is fine. Because then people would also ask like, oh, like, what do you go by? Like, do you go by Tim? Or mm-hmm. whatever. Like, I don't care. But then I just sort of introduced myself as Tim.
Okay. So at this point, the audience, I think,
has
knows
a good
his
understanding.
Name. Yes.
Oh, yeah. They want to get to know Tim.
If they didn't know it from the New York Times, they do now.
So we also brought on Tim for this podcast and this episode specifically because the three of us are largely horror new bites. We are not necessarily well versed in the land of horror, and so we wanted to bring maybe a professional in on this to teach us the ways of what horror is and all of the components of a horror film. And we landed on Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Which you had seen, Tim, you had seen once before.
Right. Yeah, it was between Cabin in the Woods and then The Purge. But
which we will do at some point, probably.
Yeah. But we
and felt, maybe you could probably come back.
Oh, yeah. 100% I'm coming back. But, yeah, we settled on Cabin in the Woods because we felt that that was a little bit more, like, stereotypical, like, horror, like, scary. And whereas The Purge is just kind of, like, suspenseful. And more of a thriller, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we knew what we were getting into with Cabin in the Woods, though.
Like, was what was everyone's understanding or knowledge about this film going into it?
I really pictured that it would be like
a cabin in the woods.
Exactly. Yes. I thought it would be like scary and not, I don't know, sarcastic or satirical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get into the film itself, let's briefly talk about the food and our drinking rules. Food was pretty easy. We were basically inspired by the title and we were like...
And the description when you rent it on iTunes.
Yeah, like just really simple and straightforward. Like, hey, there's a cabin. There's people heading into the cabin. Something's going to happen.
It's just like friends have a getaway in a cabin. And we were like, oh, what would friends like us cook if we were getting away in a cabin over the weekend?
And that wraps up that segment.
Yeah.
So it was not a lot of thought, but like it came naturally and it felt right. And I think we're all happy with the meal.
And they're all kind of fall themed as well, which we're doing this because it's Halloween. We want to do something scary for Halloween and
fall appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for the drinking rules, we typically do a three drinking rule structure. We changed it up a little bit this time. And so we start out with a, I guess similar to what happens in the film, a betting pool where we each had to choose a character. And once our character died, we had to take a shot.
of none other than delicious Appletini Baijiu mix.
Yeah, we discovered that we were out of vodka, and I believe back when we did The Social Network, that was when we discovered that apple schnapps is, like, weirdly delicious, and so it's our go-to for an easy shot. We just mix, like, half apple schnapps with half vodka, because we, you know, don't want to kill ourselves. But we were out of vodka, and I had some baijiu, which is also a clear liquor. Yeah,
for the safe.
Yeah, so we made it work.
You could call it that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, saving us?
I think the emphasis, the emphasis is we made it.
I was going to say, yeah, and we survived.
Yeah.
It was forced. The experience you two had was so different than the experience Leanna and I. We were like, is okay.
The fact that we felt like we were dying.
Yes.
Okay.
You were just about choking it up.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there was like a little left over, and Ben and I just split it.
Yes.
Like, we took more than we needed to.
Did you have to?
And Ben and I were the... No.
Why would we throw it away?
It was terrible.
Oh, it was not that bad.
It was not that bad.
Oh, my God. And also, don't think that... I think I got a double shot.
No.
Did you have the sports glass?
What glass did you have? Was it, like, the mini mason jar?
You had the shots glass.
I think... No, it was a shot glass, but it was just... It seemed bigger than, like, a normal shot glass.
Well, we pour heavy shots.
That's all I'm saying.
Really hurt going down. It felt...
Oh, my God. Yeah, it hurt going down. It hurt when it stayed in my system. And, like, the aftertaste. Like, all of it was bad.
Interesting. Well, I don't know that was the Baiju's fault. I actually think it might have been Andre's fault.
What do you mean?
Just calling him out.
Well, here's the thing, and it's story important time. To note, because if I'm going to say that Munch approves of these, like, Appletini shots, it's very important that you use decupper and not bowls as your apple schnapps.
Yeah, we don't want our listeners just heading out and finding themselves with an entire bottle of brand bowls.
Bartenders trust.
Unlike what Andre did, he bought bowls. So that was what we had to drink.
In a moment of confusion.
I thought I was doing everyone a favor, but I got the brands mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see it. I had to, like, point across the counter.
Oh, yeah. And
your intent was pure.
It was. Blamed it on me.
Huh?
Because I was with you.
Yeah.
And then you tried to blame it on me, and I said,
$7 down the drain.
Funny how the two people who are to blame for this were the ones that hated it the most.
No, I'm absolving myself of, like, any blame. Okay? He purchased this. This was all him. I was just there supporting him. You know,
emotional.
You didn't
yeah, emotional.
Now you
yeah,
know.
I'm
Andre,
so sorry I bought you alcohol.
You'll never
I'm so forget sorry it. I gave you a gift. I won't do it again.
I wouldn't call it a gift. It was bowls.
You knew you had made a mistake when you purchased it. Like, once you realized.
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't. I was so excited.
He handed me the bag and he was like, look what I got. And I opened it up and I was like, bowls?
Yeah. If you got this shitty alcohol.
Last time I surprised you.
Wow. All right. So our other two drinking rules are drink whenever anyone says, let's get the party started, and drink for jump scares. Simple, appropriate for the movie, which we are actually now going to talk about. I first want to get everyone's temperature on their thoughts on the movie and where they're at. And we can kind of just do this in a roundtable fashion. Ooh, Andre.
Yes, I am part of the roundtable here. We're all sitting in a circle, so I'll be starting.
Jesus.
And I believe we'll be going clockwise from me. My thoughts on the movie were that I liked it. Tim, what did you think? No, I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. Not at all what I was expecting. I thought, like, kind of a standard horror movie done well. But it was a lot more, satirical and funny and, smart than I had expected. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed it. But yeah. I was laughing more than I was frightened, and I wanted to be frightened, so that was a bit of a disappointment, but I'm not holding against Cabin in the Woods. That's for me for doing no research on the movie whatsoever.
Yeah, and I'd agree. I was laughing more than I was, like, in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that was because there was, like, this kind of subplot of, like, the organization that was manipulating all these things happening, and so it kind of made the horror aspects of it, like, seem fake, right? Like, it didn't seem like it was a true supernatural event happening, and then these poor kids just, like, stumbled upon it, you know, they were kind of like destined to like have to die.
Yeah,
like we're just saying, yeah.
Typically a film like sets up the monster a little bit more where by the time the monster is revealed, you have like no investment in it for a good reason. Yeah,
and it also makes you question like who's the real monster? Was it like the zombies or was it the organization? Yeah. Is it like the ancient ones or whoever the fuck they are? Like... Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's really going on with that? So, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked the... It felt like you were watching a movie within a movie because there were so many times when it would transition from a screen in the headquarters where the puppet masters were pulling all the strings to the action that was happening to the actual group. And something about that, there were a couple deaths that, like, shook me. Which I wasn't expecting. And I think like it was what? Because of the, like, it, like, made it feel almost more real because it had acknowledged that, like, there's already a layer of, like, other people watching. And then, like, somehow...
They needed to die as opposed to, like, they ended up dying.
It's really hard to explain, but it was something about that, those layers that somehow made the experiences of, like, the main cast feel, like, more realistic.
Right.
Because normally when you watch a horror movie, it's, like, there's some fantasy or, like, science fiction involved, and so it's scary, but it's also, like, obviously not based in reality, and even though this one isn't either, I think it was because they kind of acknowledged that up front and then keep running with it that it's still, I don't know, it worked. I really liked it. I wish I had more knowledge about scary movies because I'm sure there were a number of like very small references that I didn't pick up on but that other horror movie buffs might have, especially in the scene where they reveal a lot of the monsters or the monsters are crashing around in the underground headquarters.
Yeah, like specific monsters. Like the guy with the saws in his head comes from the Hellraiser series and is like considered a Cenobite. And, like, that whole thing is, like, very much a very typical horror trope or genre within horror
specifically. I also caught the line, let's play a game, from Saw.
Oh, did they say that?
Yeah,
they did.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
And in the scene where the first elevators arrive with all of the monsters, one of the elevators just has blood, which is from The Shining.
Oh, yeah. Also, that hallway felt very much like the hallway from The Shining, where, like, it was shot directly straight on with, like, a focal point on the far corner. And then at the end of it all, it's just, like, splattered in blood.
Yeah, I imagine it's a very rewarding watch for someone who can catch all of those references. But even as someone who doesn't know them, I still knew what it was doing and really enjoyed it.
Like, you didn't have to like horror to like this movie, but if you do, you'll probably enjoy it even more.
Exactly.
Or Tim, as someone who's watched more horror. Do you feel like that's...
Well, I didn't catch any of that shit.
Okay.
So I don't know what we're talking about. All right. But, I mean, but I guess I did recognize that, yeah, like, they were trying to incorporate a lot of, like, 1970s and 1980s, like, stereotypical, like, horror, like, tropes, you know? Like, with, like, the Hellraiser and, like, the little girl, right? What was she, like, a ghost or something?
The zombie girl?
She was like zombie.
No, when they were in like the elevator, right? And they were seeing all the difference. There was like a ghost.
Ballerina?
Yes.
Oh, that was...
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I could see what they were doing with that. And I also was kind of like wanting to see like some of those monsters in action. Like I kind of wish that they had chose a different...
Like that moment and, like, in the cellar.
Yeah, like, the moment in the cellar, it's like, oh, shit, like, I wish they would have, like, whoever was playing with, like, the sphere thing, like, I kind of wish, like, that was what, like...
Like, I almost wish it was a Clue, like, movie similar to the movie Clue, where there were multiple endings. Like, what if in different theaters...
They picked a different monster?
Exactly.
Oh, that would have been so good.
Like, you would have a different experience. Like, eventually, it would, like, all the threads would come back together because those two still have, those two still have to come together for that end reveal.
So maybe like act two would be different in each theater, but like act one and three would always like be the same.
Yeah, I think that could be really cool.
Yeah.
It's a really hot tip for them. Like they could have made so much more money. Like I would have seen this movie four or five times.
For Cabin in the Woods too, more cabins and more woods. That's a great idea.
Or how about Cabin in the Woods 2? Two cabins, two woods.
Two cabins, two woods. Well, I think for Cabin in the Woods 2, they should probably go into more about who the Ancient Ones are. They just, like, glossed over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we're doing this because these evil gods are,
it
like...
It should be a prequel. They should go into how that...
Right, yeah, and also, like, where did this organization come from? Like, did they battle the ancient gods, and, like, this was the deal that they, that, you know...
Or did they just, like, send them a letter, yeah, like, hey, like, set up an organization, we gotta kill four people, Virgin's last, she's, like,
yeah, take it or leave it. Because they said that this has been going on for...
A long time.
Like, for hundreds and hundreds of years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, what group of humans, like, made this deal?
Yeah, like, with, I would both love to know it.
I have a title, I have a title.
Okay.
Before the Cabin in the Woods.
Wow, that's good. That's really good. That's pretty simple. Nice, right? Straight to the point.
So they have no excuse not to make this movie.
Right. It's a prequel. I guess before it was a cabin, there were trees, so you could call it Trees in the Woods.
No.
No? Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
Mm-mm. Maybe the cabin was always there. Maybe the old one set up the cabin.
Oh, they planted the woods around the cabin.
Exactly.
Cabin in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. There you go.
I did think that them picking the racist zombie, like...
Family?
Family as the monsters that they would have to deal with was intentional, because I don't want to speak for all of you, but I was pretty... They were, like, my least favorite monsters.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, right. when we saw, like, what... The options were.
Yeah, when you see...
It was just kind of like, fuck, like, that's what we got?
Yeah, like, when we saw there's, like, the whiteboard where they were making bets on which monster they were going to choose, and Andre specifically was super disappointed that they didn't pick the dragon bat, or the bat dragon, yeah. I don't remember.
It was one of the two.
One of the two.
Equally exciting. Yeah.
So it makes it so much more rewarding when they reveal that, no, you do get to see all the monsters, because it's... I think that's why they chose the worst one, because they wanted that reveal to be even better. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated it after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a, that's like such a great moment to have, because it like all centers around that whiteboard in a weird way that you don't expect to ultimately come back. And whenever there's like a lot of text on a screen that is able to be read by the audience, you're like, I'm going to try to read what else is on here just because it's going to fill out the narrative. And they do that knowingly so that you're like, oh, I wish I had seen that, similar to probably Andre's reaction. And then you actually end up getting to see it. And that's why, like, they call out the merman, one of the corporation execs calls out the merman specifically, and like building that up and building up that moment. And it was really great.
I want to share my read on that corporation.
Okay.
I'm reading it as the Cabin in the Woods friends we're watching is the movie. They're the studio producing the movie. So you see them, like, people within the studio have their own, you know, pet favorite monsters that they want to get in the movie. Like, one exec wants to get the mermaid in, but ultimately they end up going with zombies. And I'm sure when you're making a movie, you probably have one monster you want, but the studio ends up picking another one. Anyway, as the movie goes on, you see the characters do, like, there's one part where the zombies are coming and one character says, okay, we gotta all stay together. And then one of the people in the corporation is like, no, that makes too much sense. We have to make them separate. And he like pushes a button that makes some fog come out. Mm-hmm. That one character smells and says, wait, no, we should split up. So I felt like that was them writing dumb, unrealistic scenarios into a movie to force characters to split up so that they can pull them apart. And then also they're like consciously saying, we're fulfilling all of these tropes and we're purposely killing them in this order because that's the way these things are done. So I really felt like...
Well, that was my first suspicion, was that it didn't have anything to do with gods, whoever they are. But it was actually just, in this world, this is how they actually make horror movies, is...
Right.
They...
Like, they're all snuff films, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of interpreted it. Which I think also makes sense for a movie that's kind of poking fun at horror movies. Just kind of poking fun at how they're made.
Yeah, like, for me, going into this film, I'd heard a lot about how it, like, plays off the genre and how it felt unique. And I kind of, as I was walking home with my friend Francis the other night, We are talking about film.
Francis is a friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Francis.
Keeper of crackpot theories, Francis.
Yes.
Yeah. Go back and listen to Harry Potter. She has some theories there.
Oh,
also,
some good ones.
She was just on a podcast with us.
Great Expectations.
Great Expectations. Yeah. And I was talking to her about it and explaining about it and kind of how I described it was most movies feel like it follows a very typical story structure. Like, even if the parts change, you still understand the structure itself. And like, this film was one of the first times I had seen a film that felt wholeheartedly unique and different and, was impressive because of that. Like, I was watching something new for movies as a whole to like be that introspective and like breaking that idea of the fourth wall, because you as a viewer understand that. And so it felt like a groundbreaking experience watching this film in a weird way, because it was so different. And also for the end, ultimate end of the film to be just like the world explodes as the old gods devour the world. Like, I even love that ending because it ultimately like kills everyone in a weird way.
That never happens in the movie. Like, the world doesn't ever end.
Yeah.
In
like,
movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, horror films are always like so self-contained.
Contained, yes.
And then here it is just like, okay, everyone's going to experience that horror now.
I felt like, I think you're totally onto something. I felt like Cabin in the Woods was very aware of the structure that horror movies normally take, and they followed it for like the first 2/3 of the movie, making it really clear that they're not just making it because they have to make it that way, but because they know that's how horror movies are made. And then they blow it up in the third act and they just really do their own thing, which they had been slowly building to.
Yeah. Like previously. That and even in that movement to the third act felt a surprise to the viewer. Like, it was like, you knew they were going to find out that the corporation was doing something, but you didn't realize that they were going to find their way into the corporation and then ultimately turn all the monsters against them for like an interesting sort of justice and revenge theory in a weird way for killing the other friends. That's felt unique and it felt interesting. And like, I came out of the movie like surprisingly high on it and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah.
And it's another one of those films where unless there's other versions out there with a different second act, it's never going to be as good watching it again. Like, it was so satisfying to watch it the first time and have everything unfold.
Right.
Although I guess I shouldn't speak for you because this was your second time.
Yeah, but I also like didn't really remember parts of it because I saw it like when it first came out. So like, it was good to like watch it again.
Because you kept saying things like, I wonder if they're going to do this. And we kept saying, haven't you seen this before?
I know. Yeah. And I was like, wait, what?
I mean, you did manage to draft the one character that didn't ever die.
I know, yeah. I did remember that. I did remember that she... But I also forgot that, like, Marty, like, came back. Like, that was another piece that, like, I forgot. Like, because I did remember that she survived.
We definitely called that when it happened, though. We were like,
it was
we were
so obvious that he was coming back that I said I should have
Marty
to take
was
a shot.
Coming back?
Yeah. Because they killed him off screen, and that's something you know about movies.
But they did the ritual. The blood was like dripping down the thing.
But like, it was almost a little too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you, as the viewer, understand that he was going to come back because that death felt very like, okay, we're going to go off screen. We're going to throw some blood. We don't. It doesn't have to be Marty's blood,
right? Or it could be his blood, but he didn't die. He bled, but he didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So any other thoughts on Cabin in the Woods? It was good.
Should we talk about our draft?
Yeah, let's talk about the draft and who everyone drafted.
Yeah.
If you remember their names.
Oh, man, I don't.
Yes.
Marty. I had Marty.
Yeah. You and Marty.
I think I was left with Marty because everyone else got who they wanted, and I was like, "Oh,
yeah."
And then he said something.
You switched.
I switched. No, I did.
Yeah, you did. You switched.
Who did I have?
You had.
You weren't feeling great about Marty early on. Also,
I felt like he was going to die very early, and I was right, but he came back.
Wait, did he switch or you switched?
You switched.
I switched because we originally thought there were only four characters who went through the film,
mm-hmm.
And So we didn't think that Holden, who is played by Jesse Williams, was one of those characters. And then once we realized that there's actually five characters that go through the film, that kind of opened me up to change from Jules to Jesse, which I'm glad I did, because Jesse made it a lot farther than Jules did. Jules barely made it at all.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
First death. Which, like, not surprising, I guess.
Well, it's, I mean, it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Well, first real death, right? Wasn't Marty the first?
No.
Nope. No, he was second?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of my character, but I had Chris Hemsworth.
Kurt.
Kurt, yeah. I picked Kurt because my only real point of reference for a stereotypical horror movie is one called, I think it's called, like, House of Wax.
Okay.
I think, is that what it's called?
With, like, Paris Hilton.
Yeah, Paris Hilton is in it, and Chad Michael Murray is in it.
Oh.
And that was why... I know. And Chad Michael Murray is the blonde male lead who survives the film. And so I thought for sure choosing another blonde male lead was a safe bet. But that didn't pan out. He had a really epic death where they had been carrying around this mountain bike with them. Or not mountain bike. Rode like...
BMX?
Yeah, BMX bike.
BMX bike? That's not right.
I think so. It looked like it. It was definitely, it was a dirt bike.
A dirt bike. That's, there you go. We know a lot about bikes on this podcast.
It was a dirt bike.
Yeah, they've been trucking this dirt bike around, and Andre, about 5 minutes before this scene, commented that he really hoped someone would ride it, and then sure enough...
I said it was Chekhov's dirt bike. Like, you put a dirt bike in the first act, it'll be used in the third.
Except then he used it 5 minutes later. Yeah, it was all part of the second act, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kurt ends up driving it straight into this invisible force field and dies. But it was satisfyingly funny the way they went about it.
Did we get through everyone's pick? Because I have a question about Kurt's death specifically.
Okay.
And the impact on the story. But
So I had Dana, who was the virgin. But she really wasn't a virgin.
No, definitely not.
She never said it outright that she was either. Like, it seemed like the film was like always like, I almost expected there to be like a late reveal that's like, actually, I'm not a virgin.
Well, I think they kind of did say
that
at
the beginning because she was having that affair with her professor.
And
they said close enough because she was the archetype. Like, she wasn't actually a virgin, but she was that, like, innocent woman.
And, like, kind of naive
In that final scene where, spoiler alert, Sigourney Weaver shows up and, like, explains everything, she even says, she calls her the virgin, and she gives her this look like, what are you talking about? And Sigourney Weaver's like, well, we take what we can get. Like, it's a comment that, like, you were close enough.
Yeah.
And, like, the other characters, they had been, like... influencing her to make more prudent decisions, like telling when she's like making out with Jesse.
Yes, or Holden is his name.
Okay, Jesse, she's Williams making out with Holden, and then she's like, "No, no, no, we have to stop." That's because they're also drugging her, just like they were drugging everyone else to make them fit the archetypes better. But anyway, that was your pick.
Yes, 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 yes. But and I also want to know, like, so in the prequel before Cabin in the Woods, I hope they explain like how they put, like, were these people already friends and that they, like, how did they get together, right?
Because how did they find the perfect group,
how did they find
archetypes,
right? And then because remember Kurt was saying like, oh, my cousin's cabin, whatever, clearly he has no cousin and that's not his cabin, so what the fuck is he talking about? Was that something that was like planted? And like, was he drugged to like believe this? Like, I don't know, like, it needs to be explained.
Well, and your character, I think, even comments, she's like, I don't even, like, she's reflecting, is like, I don't even think Kurt has a cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so there's that moment. I think it's kind of, again, the like, the movie commenting on, like, horror movie industry and being like, it, like, people end up in these ridiculous situations that don't make any sense.
Right.
And you just have to look past it. Anyway.
Yeah, my character, Marty, really felt like he did not belong in the group because he was this...
He's also like the stereotypical, most outwardly, like, he didn't fit the mold because he was almost, like, excessively stoner.
Yeah, he was, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High stoner.
He was a caricature of a stoner.
Yeah, he was. He really was. And I just could not believe that he would be friends with these, like, four straight edge kids, like, or that they would be friends with him.
Maybe freshman year of high school, where, like, yeah, everyone used to be friends in middle school, and, like, the rifts haven't started yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I could see it there, but not, like, was this right. college?
I also...
Yeah, this was college, yeah. Yeah.
He really felt like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo to me. The haircut, the demeanor, everything.
I'm sure that was all intentional.
I'm sure it was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yours would have been Fred, right? Fred? This is the guy with the ascot? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo's not in it. Yours, I think, would have been Daphne. Velma, or...
Not Daphne, Velma.
Velma, yeah, and yours would be Daphne.
Daphne, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Scooby-Doo would be... Not Jesse.
Or Jesse could be Velma.
Yeah.
Because Velma's
the smart one. Because he was the
smart one. Yeah. Smart yeah. one yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Well, it's not a clean fit, but it's close enough. Fit.
Right.
All right, so quick question about this corporation. And this is inspired by the way Kurt dies, which is by ramming into a wall, and it's just a death. And so it's a death that is not at the hands of a monster. So why is the corporation dealing with the monsters at all when they could just cut out the middleman and just, like, set up this cabin to immediately kill all of them with, like, Kem or something like that?
Because it has something to do with the choice. They have to start them on a decision path.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's vaguely explained. So
why could they, like, start them on that path and then just kill them?
Me seeing any more than what I just said is going to be pure conjecture. But I know that there's a point where they're like...
There has to be
a transgression. Well, no, because remember when, like, the security guard is, like, having his, like, moral crisis? He's like, why is this happening? And he's like, why are you, like, doing this to them? And then the guy with the glasses, I can't remember his name, he, like, kind of explains, like, you know, we kind of, like, nudge them in, like, these certain directions, but ultimately, like, they're making the decisions
that get themselves killed.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And so that's I guess how they kind of absolve themselves of, like,
that's weird, like, committing murder. I feel murder, like, at times, sometimes the decision is kind of made for them with, like, specifically that moment where Kurt is like, actually, we should all split up. Like,
that didn't lead to anyone dying, though, did it?
No.
Right.
Not directly, but...
Not, yeah.
Like, that starts a... Like,
but Kurt he's chose... Nudging him. But yeah, Kurt chose to get away from the monsters by trying to make this jump on his dirt bike, which obviously didn't end well. It was a decision that he made, so it qualifies. It's not a great fit, Ben. Like, I'm trying to make it work, but... Okay. It's one of the weirder ones.
It just feels like, why not, like, take out the middleman, kill them in the exact order you want by just, like, drugging them up and then walking through and then, like, just shooting them?
Mm-hmm. But then it wouldn't be their choice. Because, like, it starts from the very beginning when they, when they're first driving there and they get to the gas station and the guy warns them and they're like, no, 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 we're not going to listen to you. We're just going to go anyway. And so that's right. Their first choice to even enter the situation.
I also got the impression they didn't choose what monster comes. Like, the monster that comes out... The corporation didn't get to choose what monster comes out. That's just determined by what people do.
They also have to choose to go into the basement. They talked about that, too. How
yeah. Yeah, would you go into the cellar to choose the monster.
Yeah.
But then do they ultimately, like, they either have to be killed by the monster or then they decide to kill
all
them.
Of these choices lead to them choosing the means of their death, right? Because the monsters are the agent of death. So they choose what that agent is going to be.
Except in the case of Kurt, where he decided to
Well, he was stuck between a rock and a hard place and he tried to escape.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just his death felt like the most, like, like, opens it up just enough to where it's like, all right, you don't need to be killed by the monster. You can, like, he had no idea he was going to die in that situation. So, like, you could just, as the company set up situations where someone would be like, they made a decision to walk into a room and that immediately kills them. Or something like that. Like, because they didn't know they were going to die.
But, Ben, that wouldn't make for a very good movie. I know.
Yes, exactly.
It was just that death alone was, well, like, the
and
one
also,
like,
wasn't the order important, too?
Yeah.
Like the order in which like the archetypes died. The virgin
had to be last.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that was the only thing that mattered.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that mattered. Yeah. Okay. She either had to live or be the last one to die.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was just one that was like, it's a good moment mm-hmm. because you as the viewer know what's going to happen as soon as, and like they spend so much time setting up his jump and it just happens so quickly and you know exactly what's going to happen as soon as he goes off that jump.
Yeah. It felt very Hot Rod to me. Like the prep for the jump and just how seriously like doing those like, all right, it's a 5-degree incline. You're going to really have to throttle it.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hot Rod?
No. What's that?
It's
good. It's an Andy Samberg movie.
Oh, okay.
It's funny.
If you like Andy Samberg, you like it. If you don't, you wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You will know going into that whether or not you're
going to. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, Tim, do you want to set up this next segment? In regards to if we were all in a situation.
Oh, right. Okay, so I posited...
Because this was your idea.
Right. So I posited a question after we watched the film, because it felt very, like, post-apocalyptic to me for some reason, and just kind of, like, made me think, you know, if we were in a situation where we kind of had to go into survival mode, a la, you know, The Walking Dead, you know, and that whole thing, you know, how would people survive and like kind of what roles we would fit into. So I asked everyone, you know, to kind of think about who, like what roles people would have or should have like in this new way of life and like who would survive, who would probably die, you know, all that good stuff. So
open
who wants
floor.
To start? Yeah.
I would
or do
like-
we want to like come to a conclusion together?
Someone's got to throw something out there.
Well, so are we saying what role we want to play? Or are we saying for each? Because I'm thinking, like, I'll say, okay, Leanna, this is what I see you
I like that better.
Doing in, like, mm-hmm. this world that we're living in to, like, help us survive.
Yeah, you know? I think I like that better because, like, what we imagine our roles would be may not necessarily be what we're best at.
Right.
And like, we could put the group in danger for like being like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to be the leader mm-hmm. role. Mm-hmm. But like, maybe I'm not actually the best option for this one. And so like, instead coming to a consensus, I feel like that reveals a little bit more about each person.
Right.
In an interesting way. Right. Who?
I'll jump out. I feel like Ben, you could be the one who like finds the scroll or comes across the information, like the researcher type role
for like,
the keeper of the knowledge and distributor okay. of the knowledge that's related to whatever arcane, like zombie or beast or mm-hmm. whatever is involved.
Yeah.
Like you'd be the one who would figure it out and have to share it with
like the librarian.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see that.
Okay.
Leanna,
I'm gonna be the
first
to die.
But wait, do you have any like other roles for other people?
I'm right later. I'm gonna continue thinking. That was the first thing that came to me.
Okay.
And, wow, and someone, also in this scenario,
someone came to class prepared.
In this scenario, we were all imagining that we are at a bar. And then have to fend
oh,
for
yes,
ourselves.
Oh, yes, yes. That's
like,
yes.
We cannot just...
Yeah, like, we're out hanging out on the hill doing what we do, and then shit, like, hits the fan.
So before we go into some more roles, like, where do we go? Like, let's say we are at Rachel's Ginger Beer.
Mm-hmm. Good pick.
The Capitol Hill one?
Yes.
A lot of glass. You could see the chaos in the streets.
What? The moment we see it happen, we are like, all right, we have to do something. What are we doing?
Get behind the bar.
Ooh, I have an idea. We run up Madison to 17th where those towers are.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I don't know what kind of, I said radio tower, but like, I don't know why I said that. They're not radio towers. They're just some kind of tower.
I don't know what they are.
I don't either. But yeah, we would climb up those to get like a view and to kind of see, you know, where the fires are starting, where the mobs are, you know, what's going down.
Here's my concern. I've seen that before, and zombies would immediately swarm the bottom of the radio towers, and then you're stuck there.
See, this is why I'm going to be the first one to die. Like,
mm-hmm. Also, that's us running out in the streets for
right. Like, I was going to say, like, we have to think about, like, what is happening in between Rachel's ginger beer and then the tower.
Right.
Right? Because that's a whole 5 blocks. Yeah.
There's not a lot of great like weapons. Us
going through like mayhem.
Like, I'm going to go into the back and probably try to find some knives. That's not a great weapon.
Right.
Like, that's like...
But they have.
Close range. It will do some damage. I would prefer a bat or something, but...
Well, Rachel's ginger beer is also across alcohol. The street from the police Molotov station.
Cocktails.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you could probably get some of the alcohol
get to and, the like, police station.
Have, like, a light or something and, like, light things on fire.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. So, really, this is just a tale of how we cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's kitty corner.
Right.
So, we have to go to the police station. My other idea was, like, to go to the hardware store down a couple blocks.
Oh, yeah, on 12.
Make fortifications. That could be an
option. Yeah. Like,
there's... And you get hammers and crowbars.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, there's some great options there. Yeah. You can set up some traps.
You could probably make some armor, too.
You could probably make some armor.
What would you make the armor out of?
A hose.
Okay. Very high protection.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay. That's it.
Where do you...
I mean, zombies can't bite through hoses, so it checks out. So you just wrap your entire body in a hose?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if they have like
or
rubber, like, you know, those rubber pads that you have in professional kitchens. That are better for
standing.
Yeah, like, is that going to be really hard to chew through? Like, would that be good armor?
I could see that.
Yeah.
An option. All right, Tim. I think your role in this group would probably be. I think you're the one who probably recognize what's going down first, and you like you look across the table at all of us, and you're like. This is happening. Get it together.
Guys.
I am not going to die because of any of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, Tim, you'd be the one who would take no shit. Like,
Yeah.
You would get serious and not crack a smile for the next year.
But
then you would just...
Like, Ben, you're slowing us down. Pick it up now or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I know, that's so funny because, like, I don't know if you guys have seen The Walking Dead.
I have. Well, not all of it, but several seasons.
Right. And so one of my biggest, sticking points is, you know, everyone's in survival mode. And, like, everyone, I'm a firm believer in everyone has to, like, contribute to that, like, mean of survival.
Okay? You gotta hold your weight.
You have to hold your weight. And what annoys me so much is when there's characters who are obviously going through a lot of emotional trauma, like PTSD, what have you, and like need a lot of emotional support. But in this situation, like you have to have the ability to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I can't do that for you, right? Because I'm trying to survive myself. Like I can't take care of you.
It's
and
like on
me.
A plane. You put the mask on yourself first, then you get the kid.
Right. And so like if you don't have the ability to like emotionally regulate, like you gotta go.
Yeah. It's
like, like I'm serious, you know what I mean? Because it's like
Carol baking cookies once per season.
Like if you can't figure your shit out, like there's no place for you here. Right? Because you're bringing the group down.
Harsh words, but like,
probably true. So you're the one who fires people from the team. We're gonna have to let you go outside.
Oh man, that would be a tough moment.
Yeah, but I don't know. It has to happen. It has to happen.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, when you're actually in that situation and, like, can you be, like, you recognize that. They need to go because they're slowing you down, but you also are, most of us are human and that like we...
Oh, it would be extremely tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a difficult decision,
but it would kind of be like, you know, like,
you know, like at work, like with HR, like you don't get fired immediately. It's like you go through like the process. And so that's kind of how like I think
it's kind of like, hey, you're on notice.
Right. Like this, okay, you're going to have like a conversation with the supervisor.
We'll and talk it out real
the
quick.
The written warning is going to come.
Just the verbal warning. Machetes, but looking really clean.
Yeah.
You know? A written you've been eating a couple extra cheese over there. Yeah. That's not okay. One more, you're out.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think Andre would be the marksman. I think he'd be the first one to be okay with picking up a weapon and use like a gun and using
specifically.
It. Specifically, a gun. Yeah. And I think all of your years of playing first person shooters would pay off.
Okay, sure.
It probably helps.
One to one.
Yeah. I mean, but that's like closer than
me.
Yeah, you have a lot more experience than that than I do.
Yeah.
Tim,
have
you ever shot a gun?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm fucked.
I mean, I'm in the
same
boat.
Well, see, you're the leader.
Never shot a gun.
Have you
shot a gun?
We need you for your... No.
Okay, then I would be.
I've you're for sure the marksman.
Yeah, but okay, no, but I would have to figure out, like...
But your value is leadership.
Right. But I would have to figure out, like, a weapon of choice, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because that's the other thing, like, what I think this society would need. It's like... Everyone has to, like, be able to fight, right? Like, you have to be able to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And so if you're not able to do that, you also gotta go. Mm-hmm.
So what's your
right?
weapon?
Because I can't fight for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to be able to fight off whatever on your own, boo.
What's your weapon?
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of a bat, but, like, also taking a bat to a solid surface is never... Like, that never feels great.
It's not, and yeah, it's just not sustainable. Like, you need something. But, I mean, and also, like, gunnery, like, I guess, isn't sustainable because you always need bullets, right?
So they make a lot of noise.
They make a lot of noise, and we're always going to have to be searching for ammo, right? Like, they're quick kills,
But it's like a last resort, really. It should be.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, bow and arrows.
Heavy. Bow and arrows.
Because you can always, like, take it out. Of the zombie, clean it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can also, like, make an arrow out of anything.
True, yeah. Daryl with that crossbow.
With the crossbow,
clutch in every situation. Because it's ranged, silent, and he's never missed.
And Anna, what's your weapon?
Oh, man, I just had it. Now I got distracted by thinking about Daryl shooting with a crossbow.
With those sleeveless vests.
Yeah.
Be honest, it's hard not to think about that.
I think I'd probably throw something like a grenade or, you know, even if it was just taking, you know, a bottle of alcohol with fire in it, doing something like that. I think I'd be more comfortable throwing something from a distance.
Okay.
And creating.
You're kind of behind the lines.
Like, I'd be okay with, like, I could create diversions.
Okay.
Remember
the utility player.
That's good.
Yeah. I'll utility role. Yeah.
Yeah, or that, you know, a lot of times in battle scenes, they will bring some kind of big firepower out when the tide needs to turn.
Okay.
I'd have really good timing, really good aim, and a lot of explosions.
Mm-hmm.
That would be me.
Nice.
All right, we need a role for Leanna. What's Leanna's role in the apocalypse?
I could see Leanna being kind of like. I mean, you don't watch The Walking Dead, but, like, I kind of see her, like, being kind of, like, Maggie. Like, taking on kind of, like, the top, like, female.
Oh, Maggie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like.
The matriarch.
Yeah.
But she's also a badass.
But she's like, and she, like, in each season, like, she just, like, grows, like, more and more, like, into that role. And, like, that's what I see.
I feel like you and I could play good cop and bad cop, too. Like, I have a harder time telling someone that they're probably going to get kicked out of the group. But, like...
But I think you would also, like...
You would understand
why I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But, would have a hard time, like, actually telling someone.
Like,
if
you would
be
like...
time, you'd have to come in.
Hey, Tim, this person's not holding up their weight. I've been seeing them do this, this, and this. They're not actually managing our resources well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you could definitely make some plans... manage some projects that we work on.
Yeah. But because we would also need something.
Exactly what you were looking for in the apocalypse. Yes. Continuing your day job.
Yeah, all those.
But
all
we
those
would need someone to like help us like rebuild like a community, right? Because we're going to need to like grow our own food and like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And so like I could see Leanne.
Another thing about the apocalypse is you don't want everyone making decisions together necessarily.
Oh, right.
Like,
right.
You also need someone to actually make that decision and kind of determine the route, because indecision is ultimately probably going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And if you have like, and you're not working together to ultimately get something done, you're probably going to hamper yourself in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'd also be aware of like what's going on with each other person. And when everyone's kind of thinking of themselves and surviving and the threat, you're like aware of what I need or what Tim needs or what Ben needs. Whether that's like medicine or emotional support or whatever. So an important role.
Yeah. Yes. Not that emotional support has to come from you. I just want to call that out because you are the only woman here, but I'm not putting that emotional labor on you as a result of that.
That is okay. Yes. I didn't think that you were.
Okay.
Oh, and no sex in my community. Okay.
Okay. Oh, that's fair. Okay. I mean, that's just... That's messy.
No time for that.
No time.
Okay, like, we gotta be on all the time.
Andre and Leanne are looking at you.
I guess the world just ends.
All right, no more babies. This is the last generation.
I feel like if there's time for it and, like, the emotional support is needed, like...
Mm-hmm. A time and a place.
Yeah, there is.
Like, we've locked down the hardware store. We got a minute.
Mm. Yeah, we set up like a nice parameter or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. All right.
5 minutes then, only. Right. Get it done with.
I'm already embarrassed.
Should we just continue talking about this?
No, I don't think we have to.
Okay, I didn't think so. How long are we going to last?
A week.
I know. I think in these roles, like, I could see it. Well, first off, it can't just be the four of us because, like, no offense, like, we're not going to survive, like, on our own, like in this
insulated group. There are better groups out there already.
But it's not that there are better groups, just like more people to fulfill more roles and to like grow the community and also just like.
How big of a community are you thinking? Because I feel like there's a moment.
I would say maybe 10 people.
Okay, that's good.
I think because 10 is almost at the point where it's like. Interpersonal conflicts can start.
Yeah, that's true.
You can have that with small groups too.
Yeah,
you can, but like you can weed out that a little quicker.
Well, I think you inevitably are going to weed some people out, so you don't want to start at the bare minimum and then go below it.
Exactly.
You want to give yourself some wiggle room, so we have 10 to 12, and we expect to lose up to 4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's very, very mathematical, but yeah. You're right. You end up with the best of the best. But it's survival of the fittest.
Everyone's not. I'm just PMing this group.
Yeah.
Everyone's not going to survive.
No.
And
that's the way it works.
Really, otherwise, it would be an apocalypse. Survival of the fittest. So
with this group, how long do we last?
Oh, the four of us.
No. Like if we
ideal get 10.
The full, like,
oh, the ideal.
The
perfect 10.
Yeah, the ideal.
Okay.
Depends on the tools that we can get. If we get all the tools that we need, and if we have enough time to hone our crafts,
those first 24 hours, vital,
crucial.
We're at a major disadvantage because we're in a city.
We have to lock down the cities. Are always store.
You want
to
have like a house in the country? You already have guns. We're very poorly prepared. I have a gallon of water in my trunk. That's my preparation. You know?
Well, maybe the plan would be
there's so many people.
Get to the hardware store, take everything we can, hot wire a car, and then go out to some random cabin in Leavenworth.
A cabin in the woods?
Yeah, a cabin in the woods.
Whoa. Full circle.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part is if you can survive the first 24 hours, your odds of surviving beyond that grow exponentially because the first 24 hours is so crucial and the decisions you make on that day very, very important.
Yeah, you need to set yourself up for success. And this has been Munch's Prepper Podcast.
Yeah. From the four horsemen. It didn't work. It worked better in my mind.
Yeah.
We are actually, like, none of us are actually preppers.
No.
Like I said, we are probably not going to last that long.
I have a gallon of water in my car. That's my earthquake prep.
Yeah. I can use some Soylent in the office.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's not bad.
I keep a sweatshirt in the office for cold days.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look
when
at
the AC is
he's
on.
He's ready. Yeah. Right? He's prepared.
Right? I usually have a box of Kind bars.
Also, I mean, I'll take a box of Kind bars. That'll get us through a day.
Yeah, ingredients you can see. I love it. You know, that's nutrition.
I think in office, if I think about and this pronounce. A lot when I think about the earthquake that Seattle's inevitably going to get.
Yeah.
And as hard as it would be to not be home and to know that my animals would be home without me when that happens, the office is probably the safest place for me to be just because it's so well stocked with beverages.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Talking rain for days.
Rain for days.
Is that what's at your office?
Yeah, there's a lot of talking rain.
I guess they aren't. Just haven't got grabs. That LaCroix memo yet.
No.
Okay. Well,
we have both LaCroix and talking rain.
Wow. Yeah, so you're also probably pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably good for maybe 2 days. Honestly, like we go through a ton of LaCroix.
But you'd ration.
Yeah, we would ration. But there's a lot of people in the office.
They probably have a lot of LaCroix. Like you're only seeing the stuff that's cold.
It's true. I hope they have a LaCroix.
Yeah.
How much storage they realistically have. Anyway.
I think we get like a shipment every week.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking you wouldn't have more than a week's
worth. So you got to hope that the earthquake happens on Monday when that shipment comes in.
Yeah.
Because you have the max amount.
Yeah, but if it happens on Friday,
everyone's
might be
there
down
on Monday, where like if it happens on Friday, so many people are working from home that like it's not as
But you won't have
the
to
office.
Share as many.
Yeah, yeah. But
the Primo flavors are gone. No more pamplemousse by Friday.
You're stuck with like the berry flavors and lemon.
Yeah, maybe coconut.
No one wants
if you
to
even
deal with
coconut.
That. We've had moments, thankfully.
Okay.
I think that's a good place to end this podcast.
I think so. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been another episode of the Munch Podcast. Thank you, Tim, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
To have you on. You can find our post and pictures for Cabin in the Woods at getmunchedup.com. Our Twitter handle is @getmunchedup. We are also on Instagram and Facebook, former being Get Munched Up, the latter being probably like Munch Blog or Get Munched Up. Facebook is a weird one to search for us under for some reason. We are also on Pinterest. And as always, we would love it if you have questions for us. Please send them to getmunchedup@gmail.com. We would love to answer them. We have a lot of experience in life and tons of experience. Very,
a lot
very
of knowledge about preparing for the apocalypse as well.
A lot of knowledge.
Over 100 years of experience between the four of us.
It's true.
And finally, my final question is, which monster would you want to die to?
The snake. The big snake.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I would want to do, like, the guy with, like, the saw.
The Cenobite. Oh.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Called?
I think it's a Cenobite.
Cenobite. Okay.
So you're into the pain.
Is that
they're all about, like, ultimate pain, and pain is, like, the path to the true world, essentially.
Oh, so they torture people to death is what they do.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Still into that?
Maybe the clown, because it'll be quick and easy. But then also, like, funny at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, like, honks your nose.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay.
As he's stabbing me, yeah.
I'm torn between the dragon bat.
Ooh, that'd be a cool way to go.
Yeah, because that would be pretty cool. Or
at your funeral, people would be like, death by bat dragon.
Yeah,
really
I'm sticking with that. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. That's mine.
Leanna, you made a great choice with that snake, because that's for sure going to be quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I, for a brief second, thought about the unicorn, but that would be
that was pretty cool.
Painful.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That would just be very painful. Like,
but you get
that's
to
a
see
slow
a unicorn.
Death.
Yeah, that's true. Right up close and personal.
That's true. All right, I'll go with unicorn. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah.
And with that, good day.
Also, unicorn blood is supposed to have healing powers, so if you can get like a
whacking,
we
might be fine.
Yeah.